We're talking about wisdom today. Why don't you turn to Ecclesiastes 7. We're going to be flipping around a little bit. We've learned through the first six chapters. We're getting through it this summer. We've learned that everything is meaningless under the sun without a relationship with Jesus. But then we also learned in community that's another relationship that's fundamental to our walk as Christians. We learned that having possessions isn't really all that it's cracked up to be. We've learned quite a bit, but today I want to talk about wisdom, about what is wise and what is foolish. And man, I have so many stories when I think about it of, oh, that was something that I did that was wise, that was good. And I think I have way more examples of something foolish that I did. I think about when I was unsaved, when I didn't have who makes you wise, and I think about all the stupid things I did. There's too many to count. But I've only been a Christian for 10, 9, 7? I don't know. Not that long. I really haven't followed Jesus that long. And so I want to tell you this story about when I was a younger pastor. I was running a youth group, and my youth group wasn't huge. We were about 20 or so kids, maybe a little bit more on a good night. And the church that I was in, often we worried more about the performance, the show, the is thing going to order, than we did about the spiritual depth. And that's wrong, inherently wrong. And that church is amazing as a whole. There was lots of good things, but that was one place where that church struggled. And so me as a youth pastor in this organization, I felt God call me to do my youth service a little bit different, to not focus on the show, on how it's presented or anything like that. So normally they would come, we'd have a time of fellowship, we'd gather, eat snacks, whatever. We would do a worship set, so we'd worship God together. I would get up, I'd give a word, a sermon, and then we would be done and maybe play some games or something like that. And I felt like God asked me to do no fancy lights, no fog machine, no anything. And part of me was scared because I go, oh, I don't know if this is wise or not. I don't know if this is a good idea or not. How is this going to all turn out? And so I remember telling my team and prepping my leaders and saying, okay, we're going to do it all different. I'm going to go up there with just my guitar, like back in the good old days, and I'm going to sing and praise God, and then I'm going to put my guitar down, I'm going to give a maybe 15-minute sermon, and then we're going to gather again, and we'll have some fun afterwards. Nothing crazy. We're going to strip it all down. And then this new kid came along, and that was okay. There was nothing wrong with that, but his mom came in, and they sat down on the seat. And I was like, oh, okay, hello, this is different. And I introduced myself, and she said, yeah, I just want to check you guys out, which is probably a wise thing to do, make sure that her son is being taught right and that we believe in the Jesus of the Bible. And so she goes, yeah, I'm just going to check it out. And here I am going, okay, this isn't normally how it's going to be. You know, there's no crazy anything going on. It's just a simple service, I kept on saying. It's just something simple. It's not that much. And she said, yeah, it's fine. She didn't know what the normal was. She didn't know the ritual or the routine. And so I threw it all off. I did my service. And I half expected it to go wrong, go poorly, for them to leave and never come back. But what's funny is they stayed. She said, that was amazing. I love that. And I went, okay, well, it was mostly just me doing a little thing. And again, I'm trying to belittle what God had called me to do because I don't know what is wise and what is not. I don't know the correct direction. I don't know what is good and what is not. So this thing that I thought would be terrible or unwise to do actually turned out to be really awesome. It goes against what I thought to be wise. And Solomon, he says this too. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he says in verses 23 to 25, I've always tried my best to let wisdom guide my thoughts and actions. I said to myself, I am determined to be wise, but it didn't work. Wisdom is always distant and difficult to find. I searched everywhere and I determined to find wisdom and to understand the reason for things. I was just determined to prove to myself that wickedness is stupid and that foolishness is madness. So when we look at wisdom, what is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? And then when I think about wisdom, well, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? So to me, wisdom is knowing how things are, and knowledge is knowing what things are. How things are, what things are. So let me give you an example. If there was a dog that came running in here, I would know that that's a dog, but knowing how to interact with that dog, who might be wild or full of rabies or whatever, is a completely different thing. So knowing the wisdom to maybe be cautious with a wild dog running in here is different than the knowledge of knowing, oh yes, this is a dog. We were out bow camping, kind of, with the Nadens. We got taken out, and all of a sudden there was this huge windstorm, and it brought in waves, and they were going over the boat, and we almost had a houseboat crash into the other boats. It was wild. And I think about that whole scenario. We were trying to leave. We were just going to visit and then going to get ferried back. And I looked at David because I knew that he would have the wisdom to know, is it a good idea to go or not? And then how to get there. Because there's two different things. I know how to operate a boat, but knowing when to go, that result-based outcome, is totally different. So when we look at wisdom, where do we acquire it? It's what Lena said. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. That's Proverbs 9:10. And the more we know God, the more wisdom comes. So taking that break that we did to just hear from God, when we know his character, when we know who he is, we begin to know who we are truly. Not just a piece, but truly. It's almost like living in connection with what is real and true. When we live according to our own wisdom, we don't know how things are. We don't know where to go, and everything is turned upside down. And Solomon mentions this in verse 29. He says, "But I did find this. God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path." And couldn't we say that about our world? Shouldn't we say that about ourselves? We went our own way at Eden, at the beginning of time. Man chose their own way, what they thought was best, in the way that they thought was best. And the accuser comes along, Satan comes along and distorts what is true, distorts reality. And sin and godlessness spread throughout the earth. Or lack of the fear of the Lord, like we talked about a while ago, this reverence for who he is, this submission to who he is. And when we don't have that, it causes this downward spiral. Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so it's almost like when we live against God, or when we live outside of him, when we live outside of his wisdom, It's foolishness, because it fundamentally denies the reality in which we live in. When we don't know how things go, when we just know what things are, we lose a sense of what is true and what is right. And you can see it in the world today. Things are upside down that should be right side up. The moral values in our culture, and I think it's so easy to push the blame outwards, but even in our own lives, do we always choose what is right? Do we always go further into who God has made us to be? Do we go further into the character of Christ and know that he is good, righteous, holy, just, all these things that causes us to live in accordance to the reality that we have? And so, I think this wisdom doesn't give you a guarantee. We're talking about reality, wisdom sure helps. Proverbs talks about that a ton. Wisdom helps us to have a better life, but it's not a guarantee. Verses 13 and 14. It says, accept the way that God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity when you can, but when hard times strike, realize that both come from God, and remember that nothing is certain in this life. When we've been talking about meaningless, everything is meaningless under the sun, and Ecclesiastes says this, meaningless, meaningless, everything is utterly meaningless. Sometimes we miss the meaning of that word, because it is not meaningless. It's hevel, that's the word. Hevel means like a smoke. When I reach out, it moves, it changes, and I can't quite grasp it. It's this thing that we cannot fully understand, because even though, yes, I can see smoke, maybe even smell smoke, I never can catch up to it. It wisps through my hands. And so we can look at our lives, when we can look at the way that God has ordered the world that he's created, and we can look at it as a principle. And wisdom is that principle that we can look out into the world and know that this is the way that things are. This is how they are. But then there's these glitches in the principle where things don't always go based on how you think they should. Good people get sick and die. Bad people prosper. The wicked prosper. And it doesn't mean forever. It doesn't mean always. But there's these times where it doesn't make sense to us. There's these glitches in reality. So wisdom doesn't mean necessarily that everything will go well for me. And this just means that even wisdom, too, is meaningless. Because it doesn't guarantee a good outcome. And that's what he's trying to say here. In our pursuit of what is true, in pursuit of what is wise, we can actually miss the God who has the monopoly on what is wise. When we pursue something created outside of the Creator. So this cursed world, this downward spiral that we have, we can sometimes get stuck in this results-based relationship with God. And this is the problem that the Old Testament Pharisees had. This is the problem with the law, is that no matter how much I try and do well, no matter how much I try and make things right or do the right choice, chase wisdom or anything else, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with Job and his friends, because it didn't make sense. It went against wisdom. Why would God be punishing a righteous man? It was this glitch in the system. We can make all these wise choices. We can be righteous. We can follow God, and we can still get cancer prematurely. You can still get passed over for the promotion that you were meant to have, or so you think. You can still be persecuted, maimed, and even killed for your beliefs. And that doesn't mean that you made the wrong choice or the foolish choice. You could pastor a church, do all the right things, follow God, and still not see the results that he promises you. Even wisdom, too, is meaningless. So we come back to nothing is certain. Nothing is certain but God. Wisdom should not be what we pursue. There are meaningless things in this world, and in fact, everything outside of Jesus will be meaningless if we put our identity, if we put our focus, if we put our lives in pursuit of this thing. Everything is meaningless without a relationship with Jesus and others. That's what we learned a couple weeks back. So today you have a choice. And I want to leave you time to talk about this. The choice is this: you can pursue what is meaningless, pursue what is right or good even, but to the extent that you forsake God, who is the source of wisdom, you can pursue wisdom, or you can pursue Jesus, who gives us wisdom, who through that relationship has made us whole, made us new. And when we pursue Jesus, when we pursue him totally in that relationship, there's a lot of the time he asks us to let go of the control that we have. Because usually when you chase wisdom, you want to control things. You want things to happen in the way that you know will be right and good. But sometimes what you think is right and good isn't right or good at all. So it means letting go of control. It means surrendering. So I pray that you make that right choice. We're going to get back in our groups. Because I want you to experience the relationship aspect. I want you to experience the community aspect. So right now, why don't you get back into your groups? Those same groups that you built some trust with, that you talked about wisdom and foolishness, that you maybe shared a story or two about. So as you gather in your groups again, I want to take a second again to prepare our hearts. I believe that Jesus truly, really wants to speak with you. And there's some people in your group that are going to take over my prayer that I'm going to pray, and they're going to continue praying, because this is a time where we need to surrender our control. And maybe it's a lot, maybe it's a little, maybe it's a resurrender, but that's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I just want you to be the church. So why don't you pray with me, God, as we right here, right now, open our hearts to you again, as we surrender to you, some of us maybe for the first time in a long time, or maybe a fresh sense this morning. Again, open our hearts, open our will, open our minds to what you're doing in this space and in this place. Would you help me to know that whether my circumstances are totally good, totally amazing, totally awesome, or totally dark right now, that you are working all things together for our good, and that it's no use for me to try and make my own plans, for who can make straight what you have made crooked. Help me to be in you and in nothing else. Help me to know that you're here right now. Holy Spirit, would you drop a fresh revelation of who you are in us right now? Would you give us open hands? Would you help us to be real with one another and not hold back from you, God? For we bring you sacrifices that are pure and good and holy, because you have made us pure and good and holy in your image. So as we discuss, as we pray, as we minister to one another, help us, Holy Spirit. We cannot do this alone. Help us to be the church that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.